and that is why I come to this place to worship Him. And that is why I lift my hands to give Him the glory. And that is why I live my life to worship Him.
I'm certainly thankful to be here tonight. Appreciate the good song service we've had. And already I feel the Spirit of the Lord here. Left over from today's service. I appreciate our church. I want to go on with God's people. Regardless of all the difficulties may come our way, we still hooked up. We have a Savior that cares for us. We have a Father that watches over us. We have a wonderful Savior, don't we? And that is why I come to praise Him. Of course, I've got some other things I'm considering. And if you'll check it out with me, I'm reading a book. And it's loaded with some good things. And there's a chapter in it that I'm really thoroughly intense on reading it. And it lines up with the Word of God. And God is a man that invites. He's known as a lot of things. God's like Hallmark and Pepsi Cola and Coke. He's the real thing. But he's a God that invites you. And we didn't just wander in here. You know, we've had some people intoxicated, stumbled by here, and sit down in the back to warm up. I didn't come to warm up. When God got a hold of me, I came to stay, Sister Donna. I didn't just want to get warmed up and get me a hit and go on about my business. But I got a hit, and I couldn't get off of it. And that is why we sing a chorus. Ask me why I love Him. Why I choose to walk this way. He invited me. I got an invitation. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't just choose this one day. But I got an invitation in the mail. Personally written to me. Yeah, Bill Daniels. Would you come by? The scripture says in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He knocked at my door one day. And to be honest with you, of course, I didn't know who was knocking. So I said, like I said to a lot of people, I'm not at home. I don't care for your literature today. But he kept knocking. He kept knocking till I had it in my heart. I got to go and see. I can't stand the way I'm feeling. You know, when God begins to deal with you, he knows just what you need to get you motivated. He can give you a dream. He can do all kinds of things. He can touch you with sickness. He can do something odd, your family. But he'll get your attention. I'm glad he spoke to me gently. Although I thought it was hard, but he knew just what he was doing when he invited me. I'm glad I came. I'm glad I did some research on it. I'm glad I listened. It caused me to stay. He called me to serve him. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he showed me his love. I appreciate his calling, and that is why I'm here tonight. I've been delivered from drugs and alcohol and a lot of other things. But it's because Jesus took an interest in me. I'm glad that he took an interest in me tonight. I praise God tonight. He's been a wonderful friend and Savior. Appreciate this wonderful church. Appreciate our ministry here. Appreciate the things we're receiving from Brother Smith. I don't tell him enough how much, man, you get into my heart, you get into my soul with your teachings and the ways that he teaches us about the Lord and what God is interested in. We're learning about iniquity, aren't we? And I'm searching how to be more careful the way I do and respond to the Lord. Yes, I appreciate his calling on my life. I'm glad he allowed me to stay. So I'm here tonight to praise him. And most of all, it's because he called me. He said, I'm going to have a wedding, and I want you to be there. There's going to be a wedding. And I tell you, when I was in the world, I showed up at a lot of places. They didn't want Doug Brown. Yeah, I wasn't invited. We call that crashing the party. You can crash this if you want to. But you won't stay long. because God will just usher you by the arms right on out of here. But aren't you glad he ushered you in? Aren't you glad you responded when you heard him knocking at your door? I am. So I appreciate God tonight. Listen, I want to just take us to prayer, and I believe we're going to receive an offering. But let's get our hearts and minds made up to walk with God. We have lots and lots and tons of problems. The Bible tells us in Psalm that God says, I know the way of my children. They cry out to me. Many other afflictions of the righteous. But he said, the Lord delivereth from them all. So we serve a loving, delivering God tonight. We serve a God that's compassionate tonight. Oh, we need him every day. Every day we need him. I was just thinking, I'm excited. I'm getting to go to Oklahoma City. I'm going to take me an apron. I'm going to work. I'm going to help. I'm going to praise God. Because I could be out in the world looking for something else, in search of something. But he led me to the wells of salvation one day and said, hey, have a drink. I've been drinking ever since. I'm a spiritual alcoholic. I took my grandchildren to McDonald's at McCain one night after a little school recital. And Jacob's children, just Terry, I got a son named Jacob. And I'm praying for him, and I'm praying for your husband. So they was all excited. Ooh, Papa, can I have this? They were walking up and down the front counter. What about them cookies, man? My granddaughter said, no, Karen, you can't have that. You got to wait and see if Papa got enough money. You know how children are. So Madison, she ordered and her sandwich and a cookie. Yeah, you can have a cookie. I got my food stamps. And she wanted a lemonade or something like that. So I said, all right, Kyron, what you want? Can I have a sandwich? Yeah, that's what I come in here for, dude. Can I have a cookie like Madison? Yeah, it's on the program. I said, now, what you want to drink? And he says, oh, Papa, can I have a beer? I said, say that again. He looked up at me, can I have a beer? I said, son, this ain't that kind of place. So I thought, man, I'm going to get Jacob. I'm going to tell him what I think about him. You have no business letting your child sample a beer of any kind, no alcoholic beverages, anything. Please don't do that, because he embarrassed me tonight in McDonald's. You know, I didn't get to tell him. Before we left, I'm sitting there thinking, just imagine that kid asked me, could he have a cold beer? And he come to me, you taught him that. But it was root beer. Whenever he's over to my house, I say, you want a beer? Papa, that's not real beer. I say, it's root beer. I just call it short, you know. And he's been doing it ever since. If he goes somewhere, he going to tell you, I'm going to be a beer like my papa. I came to a place one night where they satisfied. Oh, yes, my longing soul. I wanted something different from what I had. And it wasn't a cold beer. Yes. God is a God that invites. He spoke through the prophet Isaiah. He said, come ye, all that are thirst. Come to the waters and buy. You spent your money for those things that don't satisfy. But I've got a different formula for you tonight. So I'm thankful tonight that he's a God of invitation. And you got one day too. So I appreciate the Lord tonight. And I got up to take prayer requests. First on our list, let's remember Brother Jacob Durham. Anyone else tonight need something they'd like God to take care of? He said, cast all your burdens on me because I care for you. And we can do that. Yes. Brother and Sister Crow. Okay. Okay. Sister Lynette. Okay. All right. Remember Sister Rachel. Brother Keith. Yes. Brother Dodson's having a procedure. And my oldest sister, Linda Alexander, is going to see a specialist tomorrow. And I don't know a lot about medical terms and, you know, things in that field. But she can barely walk now. And the doctor she's going to see are saying it's arthritis. And I said, well, it could be, but God can heal arthritis. But one doctor said she's had some mini strokes. And to me, I haven't said anything to the family. But she does speak with a little slow, slurred speech now. But she's been falling a lot. So she's on a walker now. Can hardly get around. And the man she's going to see tomorrow is a neurologist. And I don't know if he deals with with limbs and things like that, but maybe for someone that has had a stroke, he may be able to find out what her problem is. So that's what I'm praying for, that she'll have a diagnosis as what she's going through and how to fix it. But most of all, we're looking to the heels of salvation tonight. Anyone else have a request? Sister Linda, they pointed at you. Brother Fleming, okay, yeah. All right. Yes, Brother Johnson's wife, Sister Beth, Sister Debbie. That's okay. Remember Brother Steve, Sister Julie. Yes, Michael's two sisters. Okay. All right. Another one. Yes, okay. Yes, Sister Painter and your in-laws. Okay, all right, all right. Let's remember those needs. Let's pray for the Oklahoma City meeting. You're taking on a big responsibility. Been a number of years. I was thinking about them a couple of nights ago, and I just need to pray for them and hope they got everything lined up. We come in to help them. But it was a campground that we were in when Brother Linegar was living. That's the last that I remember. So they really need some support. All right, let's stand then and take our needs. Yes, Sister Sandra. Yes, Brother Jerry. Okay, and Joshua. All right. Yes, and Brother John McPhee is down in his back today. All right, have you ever had a need that he didn't come to you? Have you ever had a problem that he didn't comfort you? Oh, yes, we thank God tonight for his healing power. We thank him for his love and for his mercy, that he's able to take care of any situation we may encounter tonight. We serve a loving and compassionate God tonight, and he walks with us and talks with us. He cares about his children tonight. Brother Jerry York in need of prayer that God will finish the work he started in him. Son Joshua, Brother and Sister Smith are getting ready for the convention, the church there in Spencer, Oklahoma. May God bless the work that Brother Linegar started. Oh, Jesus, we appreciate your love and kindness. Appreciate the healing hand of God tonight. Brother Painter's wife, Sister Painter, needs a touch tonight. Brother Painter's family, mother-in-law and father-in-law really need a touch from God. Our children, our youth here tonight. Brother Jacob Durham is waiting on the healing hand of God to touch his life tonight. We earnestly pray that God would. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, oh God. But he heareth his prayers. He heareth our prayers. For the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those whose hearts are committed to him. We appreciate a loving God tonight. Appreciate him keeping his hand on our lives. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Jesus. May God meet each need here tonight. Praise God. The ushers will come. We're going to receive a Sunday night offering.
I believe God. two-year-old, well, she's almost two. Her name is Clementine, and she is very active. But she had taken her mother's keys. And I thought, 200 miles, she calls me to find her keys. This has happened before, and I was able to find them the other time. So they assumed that I could find them this time. So I tried, and I said, start where you were, and, you know, all the little steps that you go through, try to find a set of keys. And so it cheered them up, because it was the house keys, it was the car keys, it was the keys, you know. And so after a while, we got ready to come to church, and I thought, they haven't called me. I've got to find out what the progress. So I called, and I said, tell me about the keys. And Enrique said, Maymaw said they were in her pocket. So when God answers a prayer, trust and obey, because they're liable to be in your pocket. But I had to share, because God is so good. He answers the little things. He answers the big things. And it's a pleasure to know God. And I feel sorry for the people that don't know him. I can't remember since I was a real small child not knowing God. But I can sure remember when I turned my back. And I don't want that to ever happen to me again.
Brother Smith's words today. I thought I'd give a report on my status concerning myself. Since I've been coming to church regular, it bothers me when I have to miss church. So I didn't intend to miss last Sunday, but for the first time in a long time, I had one of those nights I didn't sleep. And last Sunday, I was just in a daze. I was so sleepy. I didn't even feel like going to the grocery store, but I made myself go to the grocery store. And then Wednesday night, I wasn't here because I had an appointment with the surgeon at 9 o'clock Thursday morning, and I wanted to get to bed early. So I went to see the surgeon, and he said, he looked at my hernia, and he said, well, if it as big as it is, I would recommend that you have surgery. So I'll have surgery at Tuesday morning. And see, Brother Daniels told me, back when he had hernia surgery 30 years ago, he couldn't drive for 7 weeks. And I thought, you mean I can't come to church for 7 weeks? But now they've got it. It's, of course, they've made a lot of headway since then. So he said I could be able to drive in 2 or 3 days. So I probably won't be here Wednesday night. But I'm thankful that I will just have to miss maybe Wednesday night. But anyway, I hadn't been here in a week and a half, but I still pray and read my Bible, and you know, living by myself, I've got to where I get more conscious of giving thanks. I mean, I can't hardly take a glass of water without giving thanks, you know, and trying to feel God's presence more. And you know, sometimes God might give you a dream, or you might just have a dream, but I had a dream last night that was so vivid. And I've got a couple of neighbors that are Church of Christ, and they're so entrenched that I wonder if Jesus could untrench them. They're so deep in what they believe. So I saw this DVD of the convention center meeting, and Brother Williams from Bloomfield, Indiana, was talking about how he came out of the Church of Christ. And so in my dream, I was telling these Church of Christ people, I said, I have a DVD you need to see, but you won't like it. So I've never preached a sermon, but last night in my dream, I was preaching to them. I was telling them how they were being misled, and I was telling him, I said, I wouldn't be telling you this if I didn't love you, because, you know, Paul talked about those that oppose themselves, and so I said, I wouldn't be trying to change you if I didn't love you, but Paul said, one time have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. So I just thank God that, well, like Brother Williams said on that DVD, that he was so thankful that God brought him out and of the Church of Christ. And he said he went from the Church of Christ to the Assembly of God. And, you know, sometimes if you're raised in a church where they don't believe in the Holy Ghost, instead of bringing you directly to the body, he might bring you to a Pentecostal church, because that's the way he did with me with when he brought me to the UPC when I was 20 years old. So anyway, like Brother Smith said, we have so much to be thankful for that we live in America. We're so thankful that God has illuminated us. And you know, like I was trying to illuminate those people in my dream last night, but people are hard to illuminate. It seems like people, well, they like darkness. The Bible said people, men love darkness rather than evil. Love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. So I really miss being here. I hope y'all didn't think I was just laying out, but you know, you can tell the difference when you miss church. That, like, I've been coming regular, you know, you need to be here on a regular basis. So I'm thankful that I'll just have to miss one service instead of 7 weeks, like Brother Daniel said. And so I just give God the praise and the glory.
Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Feel what we feel, and then know that what we feel is real. What a difference that makes. It's not made up. It's not put on. It's genuine. And thought as our band opened up tonight with I Exalt Thee, and how that God is higher than all gods, higher than the earth. There's none greater than Him. And what a comfort that brings to me, to know that He's in control. We read that, I think, Wednesday night. Jesus told His disciples, He said, all power is mine, heaven and earth. Wow. There's not anything that He can't handle. My Lord, what a God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Praise God. And so, Buddy, he expects us to work and labor. This is our time. This is our time. We've had people that's worked the road before us. We've had people that's plowed the fields and sowed the seed. Tonight we're reaping the labors of other men, other women. I've said before, and I got this from someone else, we're standing on the shoulders of great men. We're benefiting today because others were on the job, others were faithful. We've learned from them, we've received from them, And it's our time. It's our time to work and labor for Him. And sometimes we do a really good job. Sometimes everything, all the cylinders are firing all at the same time. It seems like there's nothing slowing us down. I left the store the other day on the way back to church, and every time I'd let off the gas, I'd feel my vehicle slow down quite a bit. What in the world? Well, I had the emergency brake on. You ever done that? Well, I've got this habit, you know, I've had it for a long time, of setting the emergency brake, particularly when I'm parked on an incline. And this vehicle here, I just forgot. I'm going running down the freeway and feeling that tug back, you know. Sometimes, you know, the emergency brake's on. Sometimes the engine's missing, or nowadays if you even leave the gas cap off, you know, these cars are fuel injected and the systems are pressurized, and if you leave the gas cap open, you know, you'll feel it miss a little bit, or your check engine light will come on. But when everything's going like it should, and everybody's pulling and working together, it's a wonderful time. Praise God. What a joy it is to be in the house of God and to work and labor with the Lord and with the Lord's people. This is our time to work together with Him. And I mentioned that in a roundabout way in my class today. We're going through the book of Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs, I think, is probably as great a foundation in the Scriptures, maybe as any other book. I know they're all important, but I think that myself personally, I've referred back to the book of Proverbs probably as many as any other book in the Bible. And there's just so many good things in it, and so we're going through it as a class. And I mentioned a scripture over in Proverbs 20, 20 verse 4. It says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. And there's another good verse there in Proverbs 20 verse 13 that says that to love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. And of course the illustrations there help, you know, that if you don't prepare and turn the ground and plant your seed in the springtime when it, you know, even when it's cold, you know, sometimes they'll break the ground even when there's frost on it, I guess. And if you don't get out and take care of business when it's time, you know, as the old saying is, make hay while the sun's shining. If you don't take care of things properly, you won't have any hay to make. You won't have a harvest come the fall, and you'll be hungry. You'll be begging. You'll be wondering where your crop is. And said to love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. You know, I think about that a lot. It's funny. We were supposed to have gotten an hour's extra sleep today, right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? Fall back, you get an hour. All right, you get an hour's extra sleep. No, that didn't happen for me. My internal clock kicked in, and I'm awake. You know, that's the way it goes, isn't it? When I'm supposed to get that extra hour, it ain't happening. I'm still awake. So to love not sleep. Well, I'm so thankful that we are a group of people that we don't rest and take our leisure. We're on the job. It's important to us. This work of the Lord is not something we take lightly. Thank God. We're on the job. We're ready. We're setting on ready. You know, and it helps. It helps when we've got, you know, good leaders. It helps when we have, you know, good song leaders, good testifiers. People that are willing to move out in the Spirit, be led of the Lord. All those things are an inspiration to us. And I'm glad that their eyes are open, and I'm glad that they're pursuing the blessings of the Lord. And it helps me. It encourages me to get, you know, in behind them and work with them and, you know, labor together. Do you know there's some people, even in the Scripture, there's people that get left behind. I was thinking, Brother Smith's comment there at the end of service today really provoked me about Jesus coming at the fullness of time. And I got to thinking about how that I thought about that scripture over in Matthew 24 where Jesus, Matthew 24:36, he told his disciples, he said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." That scripture provoked me. Well, Brother Smith's comment there about how that it looked like, you know, Israel was in its worst state. You know, it's just like it was just almost gone. But that's the time that the Lord came. It looks like it wouldn't be like that, I think is how he framed it up. And I thought about this scripture. It says that in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I was studying on that just a little bit. And, you know, here we've got people, they're asleep. This whole world's asleep. They're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, giving in marriage, they're doing whatever they want to do. They're just, they don't have a care in the world about serving God. And it's evident, you know, in the church houses. It's evident in the way people are living their lives. It's evident about the things that you hear about on the news. It's evident, you know, on the day-to-day things that you encounter, you just know that there's people, they don't care about God. For them to have heard that band song, "I Exalt Thee, oh Lord, above all the earth," that wouldn't mean nothing to them because they don't. They don't exalt Him. And like that song Sister Smith sang, that I'm here to worship Him. I had the tune. That is why I come to this place, to worship Him. That is why I lift my hands. You know, there's some people in this world that's not why they lift their hands. They're cheering for whoever. That's who they lift their hands for. They don't come out to the house of God to worship God. They don't even come out to the house. They don't even think about coming out to the house of God. Why? Because they love sleep. Now, I'm not talking about sleeping on Sunday morning. I know that when there were times in days gone by when we had a Sunday evening service. And so sleeping on Sunday morning wasn't a sin. I'm not indicating that at all. But what I am saying is when there's people around Little Rock and Central Arkansas that their priorities don't include God. And if they make it to church, it's just because it's convenient. That's not why they come to this place. They love sleep. How do you say that in the 20th verse? Proverbs 24. He said, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. People are empty today. They don't have a spiritual life. You mention God to them and it's like a foreign name. You start quoting scriptures to them and it's like a foreign language to them. It's something so strange. They don't have a clue. King James Bible doesn't mean anything to them. My Lord, you know, I've heard, you know, songs about the dust on the Bible and stuff like that. But I understand that. But there's some people, they don't even have a Bible. They don't even know what a Bible is. Children growing up in homes today, they don't know the first thing about serving God. They think mom and dad's God. Or some, you know, there's just some, you know, all-knowing God, Santa Claus out here that just does everything for everybody. And if he don't do it the way you want it, just get mad at him. That's what everybody else does. Well, it said here that they were marrying, giving a marriage, drinking, eating. And they knew not until the flood came and took them away. You know, people are consumed today. They're consumed with their life. They're consumed with all the cares of life. They're consumed with all the filthiness of riches. They're consumed with all the things, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And then the flood comes, and what happens? It just takes them away. They have nothing to show for it. Their family's a shambles, or their life's a shambles. Even the things that they work for may not amount to a hill of beans. It just comes in, and it's gone. They knew not until the flood came. There's families right here in America. There's families that are our friends, our loved ones, that are just living carefree. I thought about that. I thought about here when Brother Smith was talking, here Israel just seemed like that they were at a point where they didn't need God. They didn't need Jesus Christ. They resented the fact that he even referred to himself as a son of God. And he told those men, he said, you call yourselves gods, and I say I'm the son of God, and you're offended. They absolutely resented any reference or relationship that he expressed that he had with God. And then you look over to the Gentiles, and they're just clueless. Paul said that they were without God and without hope. So you've got the Jews on one hand who resents everything. They had all this knowledge. They've been trained. They've been taught. They've been schooled about the Word of God, and they reject God. Then you got all these Gentiles, and they're worshiping everything that you can imagine. Paul went to Mars Hill, and there's a thing. They got an altar there for the unknown God. They're worshiping all kinds of gods. They're clueless. They're hopeless, Paul said. What a condition the world was in. What a condition the world was in. And then here comes the Savior of humanity. The greatest man that ever walked in shoe leather. And the whole world practically rejected him. 120 gathered together in the upper room to wait for the promise. My Lord. He said the flood would come and take him away. Well, Paul, he goes through that a little bit again in Romans 1. He said, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And then he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, the people that hold the truth in unrighteousness. It means they hold the truth, but they don't act upon it. Jesus said, Paul said, I think, when you say you see, your sins remain. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what happens to people today. They get educated. They get comfortable in their status. They get money in their pocket. They hold possessions in their hand. They have good health. They profess themselves, well, look what I've accomplished. Look what I have. Look what I've done. Look what, all these things around me. They profess themselves to be wise, but they find themselves trusting in uncertain riches. Going back to Proverbs 20, and I don't know if I can remember where this was exactly. There was another proverb in there that I kind of chuckled at this morning. Let's see if I can. Yeah, Proverbs 20:29. It says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. My boy and I, yesterday we were working around our place, and I guess whoever had the house before us, they had a pretty big dog. And so they had this, they had drove this post, or this piece of rebar. It looks like it's about 5/8 inch in diameter, maybe even 3/4 of an inch in diameter. It drove it in the ground. Well, my wife's not here. I'd ask her. I think we've lived out there about 7 or 8 years, and there hadn't a year gone by I didn't try to pull that out of the ground. I don't know what I was thinking. I couldn't do it 7 years ago, and I couldn't do it yesterday. But that don't stop me from trying. Well, it said the glory of the young man is his strength, right? So I asked my girls, I said, have y'all tried to pull that? I know my boy had tried before. I said, have you girls tried to pull that out of the yard? Yeah, they had all tried too. Well, it wasn't coming out, not by brute strength. So, I've got one of them long pry bars, right? And I got me this block of wood and put it under my pry bar, and I'm gonna pry this thing out of the ground. And so I got a good bite on it. I got low. I'm pulling, and metal will bend. I'm not saying it'll stay in that same shape, but it will give a little. But I'll give more. So I was as far back and as low as I could, and I'm pulling on that thing, and something slipped, and it wasn't my hand. It was that pry bar. Boy, I just hit the ground. Fell backwards. My legs are all twisted up under my back. Well, that didn't work. I lay there a minute, kind of laughing. Pulled about every muscle in my body. Well, see, I'm kind of in between, I guess, between that young man and his strength and the old man and his gray hair, because I did it again. I wasn't wise enough to not learn my lesson the first time. Hit the ground again. It wasn't forgiving. Finally, I got a jack. I just happened to remember, you know, them old, I didn't use that kind of jack, but there's, I can't remember what you call it. It's not a bumper jack, but it's something similar to a bumper jack, using for pulling posts out of the ground. Say it again. T-post puller. Well, this is, y'all would know it if you saw what I was talking about. But it's like a bumper jack. Anyway, I didn't use that. I got a hydraulic jack and wrapped a chain around it. And between me and my boy, he actually did it. I just kind of watched. So, you know, it's amazing how much a child can get accomplished with the right tools. Let that settle in just a little bit for your parents. That's for me too, y'all. I'd like to give my kids the right tools. We wrapped this chain around this jack and wrapped it around that post. It took us a couple times. But we wrenched that sucker out of the ground. It was 4 feet in the ground and about 2.5 to 3 feet out of the ground. So the earth had it a lot more than we did. And there's no wonder that, you know, it's pretty obvious why we couldn't get that thing out of the ground by our brute strength. Anyway, it said so we wrestle, don't we? We think that there's things that we can accomplish by our own strength. We think that, you know, a young man, he'll walk around, and these young men, they won't admit to it, but they do it. So, and I'm not just talking about the teenagers, y'all. I'm talking about, you know, some of the older. They'll walk around, they'll flex in front of the mirror. Right? They will. And I tell my kids, if I survive my childhood, still working on that, by the way, then I hope to have the honor of a gray head. He said they profess themselves to be wise, but they became fools. We cannot even trust in our gray hair. You can't trust in your brute strength, and you can't trust in your gray hair. You've got to put your trust in the Lord. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations. All right, so here it said, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up. God gave up. God gave up on them. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The point I was making there is that God gave them an opportunity, but they held the truth in unrighteousness. They put their trust in themselves. Just like when that flood came in Noah's day and wiped them out. They could have got on the boat. They could have listened. They could have heeded the call, the cry, there's a flood coming, but they didn't. They could have not trusted in uncertain riches. They could have not trusted in their own strength. They could have honored God instead of honoring themselves, but they didn't. And they didn't realize it, and God gave up. God gave them up to their uncleanness, to their flood of sin. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. It wasn't enough for Paul. He said it again. 26th verse. He said, for this cause God gave them up. Now I realize I'm playing on those words. And I'm not trying to be insensitive about it. But I do want to drive the point home that if you don't honor God, at some point, game over. If you don't put God first, if you don't come in and say, that is why I come to this place, to worship Him, if you're coming for an ulterior motive, at some point, you're going to be so deceived, you may not even see it coming. But the end is coming for you. That's why he said, a haughty spirit, he said, a fall goes before a haughty spirit, and pride before destruction. You don't even realize it. You're so lifted up in your pride, and destruction follows, and you, just like a flood, and you don't even realize it's coming. He said, God gave them up unto vile affections. People in this world, they've given over to so many things. I don't mean this as a poor reflection, but I just can't believe the number of people that have gone out and just tattooed their body from head to toe. I wish somebody, whoever would do this, would probably make a lot of money. But if they could take imagery and age a tattoo and say, this is what your tattoo is going to look like today, and this is what your tattoo is going to look like in 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. If somebody could do that, they'd talk a lot of people out of getting a tattoo. There you go, Brother Crafton. New business right there. People are so lulled into doing their own thing, going their own way, not honoring God, that they're asleep. They're asleep. And guess what, folks? The flood is coming. There we go. Sound effects. The flood is coming, and people don't even know it. Now, over in the fourth chapter of Romans, we read about Abraham. And I should have marked this verse, and I'll see if I can nail the one that I was thinking about. It says, though he was dead. Let me just start here Romans 4 said, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherefore to glory. He should glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So in other words, what he's saying here is, if you can pay your own debts, say if I cause an offense, and I can cover that offense in my own strength or my own pocketbook, God doesn't have any part in that. There's no place for God in that. I've done it, taken care of it myself. But we know that we have a debt that we can't pay. We know that we're indebted to the Lord so greatly that we can't pay that debt. And so he said, but to him that believeth believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. If you believe tonight that God can pay your debt, your faith, if you believe that's your faith, it's counted unto you for righteousness. He said, even as David also described the blessedness. Now think about this a minute. The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. God has imputed righteousness to us without works. When we didn't deserve it. When we were sleeping. When we didn't plow. When we didn't prepare the field. When we didn't do anything to justify, anything to make us worthy of God's love and His forgiveness, He imputed it to us. He said, blessed is the man. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That is why I come to this place. To worship Him. Because He's doing a job. He's covering a debt. He's taking care of me when I couldn't do it myself. Praise God. He said, cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for his righteousness. Let's see. Here in the 13th verse of the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if, boy, there's a scripture here I'm looking for. Thank you. For as it is written, let's see. For as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as they were. No, that's not the one I was looking for, but maybe I skipped ahead of. Thank you, yeah. So the verse 18 said, who against hope believeth in hope that he might become the father of many nations? He might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. So here Abraham was, 100 years old, dead. The Apostle Paul called him dead. Basically said he's an old man. And he even made that statement to his wife, Sarah. You know, we're just old people. And we're going to have a child, and that child's going to be like the sand of the sea, the father of many nations. Are you crazy? Brother Phil, I shouldn't tell you this. But the other night, you were walking, you might have heard me say this. The other night, Brother Phil was walking out, and he was putting his baby in the car, and she was crying a little bit. And he said, oh, you know, he was all cutesy, and it was awesome. Great dad. And I'm walking to my car, and there's my kids, and they're all on their own 2 feet, taking care of it. You know, they're getting in the vehicle, and I told my wife, I do not miss those days. I'm sorry, Brother Phil. I can only begin to imagine what Abraham went through. Oh, my Lord. He'd be like, I think I've got a field that needs plowed. Woo! Said that though he was dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet in the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He said to his family, the people that mocked him, the people that he traded with, the people that he knew, his neighbors, he said to him, he said, you know what? That's why. That's why I serve Him. That's why I believe in Him. The God that I serve, He's greater than this. He's greater than the cattle in the field. He's greater than all the riches in the hills. He's greater than any king. He's greater than any nation. He's greater than even the defiance of the human body. Even though I'm up in age, 100 years old, and my wife's close to it, He said, you know what? That's why. That's why I serve Him. Because He's greater. He's greater. He's greater than all. Hallelujah. That's why. And the Apostle Paul told him in Romans, he said, if you believe that God will pay a debt for you, if you'll exercise your faith and don't rely on your works, but if you'll let Him cover your debt, if you'll let Him bless your life, if you'll let Him save you from sin, praise God. He said, Abraham, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Woo! Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Do you have a desire tonight to live, to be righteous, to hold the truth in unrighteousness? I mean, to hold the truth in righteousness, unlike those that hold it in unrighteousness? You want to hold the truth in righteousness tonight? It's not a matter of learning the scriptures and having knowing where to dot every I and cross every T. It's not a matter of being able to quote the Bible from cover to cover. It's not a matter of knowing all the history and all the intertanglings of religious organizations and how we got from here to here and here. That's part of it. It's important. But to hold the truth in righteousness is a matter of you having the faith. Now what God has for you, He will provide. He will provide. He will provide. Praise God. He is our provider tonight. Hallelujah. If you're lacking, He said, if any man lacketh, let him ask of the Lord. Just like Abraham. If you want to hold the truth in righteousness, exercise your faith and believe that whatever comes your way, you and the Lord can work it out. Hold what you have in faith. He said, it is not written, now it is not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him. This righteousness was imputed to Abraham, just like it will be to us. He said, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Praise God. Let's not be lazy. Let's not love sleep. Let's not be consumed by a flood. Let's not find ourselves in a setting where we're just being lulled by our own personal interests. You know, and I fit that. I have to be careful. There's things that interest me, have interested me my whole life. I love talking about. You know, and I've got to be careful not to let my hobbies, my interests, rob my time, lull me into thinking that everything's hunky-dory. I've got to put the Lord first. He said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you. Praise God. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be in the house of God tonight? Praise God. Sister Terry, we're sure glad you're here. Children. I don't know if you feel led to sing or not. If you don't, that's fine. I don't want to put any pressure on you. But if you do, we'd love to have you sing a song. We're happy. We're happy to be in the house of God. It's a joy. It's our privilege. We may not have got that extra hour of sleep that they promised us. They did. They said, it's an extra hour. Fall back. You get an extra hour. Well, somebody forgot to tell my alarm clock. But it's all right. It'll work out, won't it? Praise God. Praise God. Very good.
Difficulties. We'll get it here.
Time to press onward.
For God's going to turn this old world inside out. It's no time now to sleep. It's time to obey. Time to press onward, correct each mistake. It's time for God's people, their lives to improve. For God's getting ready to make His great move. It's no time now to sleep. It's time to obey. Time to press onward, correct each mistake. It's time for God's people, their lives to improve. For God's getting ready to make His great move. It's no time now to sleep, it's time to awake. Time to press onward, correct each mistake. It's time for God's people, their lives to improve. For God's getting ready to make His great move. It's no time now to sleep, it's time to awake. Time to press onward, correct each mistake. It's time for God's people, their lives to improve. Oh, for God's getting ready.
Song. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Terry. Praise the Lord. It's been a good day. Trust the Lord will keep us this week. Don't forget to pray for all those that are traveling to the meeting. We'll have service here Wednesday night, prayer at 7, and service here at 7:30. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we are. I believe that's the 22nd of this week. Yes, we are. I'll be making plans for that this week, and I've talked to a few folks, and we're going to be looking at some games, maybe some grilling, and probably even have a little fire pit where we can roast marshmallows. It'll be here at the church, and I'm pretty sure that's the 22nd is a Saturday, my recollection serves me. So we'll be looking forward to that, and we'll have some more announcements for that here in the coming week. God bless you, everybody. Good night. Praise God.